Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by Baker Rigg. Baker, how are you doing today?
I am blessed.
Well, I am not surprised.
We all are, I believe. Yes.
I heard someone say one time they're blessed and highly favored, whether they feel like it or not, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, we're really glad to have you with us today. And you're no stranger to the podcast, but we wanted to have you come in today and just kind of share an update. You serve as a missionary in the Rockingham County Jail.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And how long have you been doing that?
I am entering my third year.
Wow, time flies.
It does when you're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe today there may be some people listening that don't know you, don't know a little bit of your story. So if you want to share just a little bit about where you're from, how you grew up, a little bit of your story to help us maybe understand your passion for the ministry that you do, to get us started. And then we want to definitely talk about what you're doing in the jail and just hear a report from that and have some ways that people can support you. We want to make sure that we do that today. Start out and share a little bit about how you grew up. And
I'm a North Carolina boy, and you can probably tell by the accent, but I grew up the baby of the family, and life was fun, but we were not a Christian family. I did not know the Lord. I wasn't raised in church. And when I hit my early teen years, I got into drugs, and I was very abusive with drugs, and I also sold drugs and got drugs for other people. I sold to an undercover cop at the age of 16. I was selling weed out of my home, and I was selling other things to other people, too. Mm-hmm. And I was arrested in the late 70s at high school, and I was interrogated, and I was told I had 70 years over my head.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the Lord was very gracious, even though I didn't know him. As you can tell, I did not get that 70 years. I did get.
So you're looking good if you've been in there for 70.
Yeah, I did get a felony record, and I was on probation 5 years. And I did time in three different jails. And in the 70s, the jails were a little different than they were today. You didn't have TVs and all that stuff and commissaries. It was bars, you know, the gray bars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Open toilets and all that. And so, but that season of my life, after I got out of that, I had people praying for me. And then I began to be wooed by the Holy Spirit. And God was dealing with my heart, even though I didn't know who he was. He did not leave me alone. I didn't realize it was him at the time. And then I finally got tricked into going to church. And I did not want to go, and I was there, and I had an altar call, and I had a buddy that was relentless, and God knows the people that we need, because I'm Mr. Laid Back and Mr. Indecisive and procrastinate, and this guy was not having any of it, and he just got in my face and asked me if I wanted to make Jesus the Lord of my life. So in that moment, I realized that God dropped a measure of grace in my soul that I never had. And I was, in that moment, I felt like I was sitting on the edge of a cliff, and he was bidding me to jump. And so I did. And I went to the altar, and I told the Lord after I prayed, and accepted Christ, I said, God, even if you don't want me, I'm still going to serve you. Mm-hmm. And so I've been serving him ever since. And my salvation happened that night in a very real way. But I tell people it wasn't the prayer. It was the heart that was saying the prayer.
Yes.
Yeah. And God got my heart to that point of surrender.
Right.
That's why I told the Lord, even if he didn't want me, I was still going to serve.
Right. Yeah.
And then it wasn't long after that, I had an encounter with the Lord. And it was his way of letting me know he did want me and called me into ministry. And so this is my 45th year of walking with the Lord and 40 plus years in ministry.
Wow.
Wow.
But so, God.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, I tell people, too, I should have been dead. There were some close calls. I had a little too much in my system on occasions. And to see what God has done in my life and where he's brought me to, it is really the biggest kind of miracle that you can have, because a transformed life is to me a greater miracle than a miracle of healing. Yes. When God performs a miracle, which I will have that too, I don't mind that, but when you see somebody who is one way and then by the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they become an entirely different person. That is a living miracle.
Right. So you talked about God was wooing you. You didn't know it at the time, but looking back on those moments, what do you sense that you sensed his presence, like you said, before you even knew him?
Yeah. Well, again, as a young kid, you know, 16, 17, and then going into 18, those years were just tremendously wild. I was lied to by the devil, because he actually told me that God doesn't like me. I mean, I was bound. And the wooing that I was talking about, I didn't really understand it. I didn't. One of the things when I say God wooed me was in those latter times when he was dealing with me. When I would get high, I would always hear in my head, what would happen if you were to die today? Where would you go? And I did not like that. And it only happened when I was getting high, not any other time. And I couldn't understand it. But looking back with my years of walking with the Lord and knowing who he is and how he operates and what he's like, I can clearly see that was him behind the curtain. Pulling the strings of my heart. And so,
well, you said the enemy, he lied to you. He tried to give you shame or make you feel like that you couldn't have reconciliation or redemption with the Lord. But we all know that that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody that's so far from God's presence. As long as they're breathing, there's hope. Yeah. There's still hope for that person.
And absolutely.
So if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know, the things that I have talked about, they are the reason why I am where I am today at the Rockingham Regional Jail Facility. That is my world. And God has used my past, the lessons I've learned, to connect with those inmates. Number one, when I sit down with an inmate, I think the first thing they think is I'm sitting down with a religious figure. But when I unveil that I, too, was a former felon, that breaks the wall down and they can connect. So I get their ear with that introduction, and then I can begin to tell them kingdom truths. I build their trust, and many times it leads to salvations. It leads to discipleship, and the discipleship goes beyond the walls of the jail, because when they are released, they still reach out. And I have a number of inmates that I'm still in relationship with, and they come to me for advice, or they want to have coffee with me. And that is built on the relationship that we established within the jail.
God doesn't waste any part of our story.
No, he doesn't.
And that's the beautiful redemption and a part of that transformed life, when he takes us from who we were and transforms us. That is miraculous, the transformation that happens in Christ. I shared just recently with a group that a story about someone. I asked them a question about why they chose me for a job, and they said it's not about the letters behind a name, but the character of the person. And I thought, from my own crazy past and before I was walking with the Lord, I'm like, when they said that to me, that it was about the character of the person, I had that thought. I have character? Like, that's new. And I didn't do that. That's what the Lord did in me. That's the transformation that He does. Yeah. And I wasn't aware. And can you speak to that in your life? Like, you were here, you were selling drugs and a felon, and all of a sudden God comes in and begins to transform your life.
Yes.
And I know there was, I mean, you've been in ministry as pastor. And so it's, you can relate to that person in the jail about where you were, but they get the opportunity to see that. There had to be a transformation. If it's possible for you, it's possible for them.
Yes. You know, speaking of that, a couple of weeks ago, I got an email from an inmate that is in prison. He was at the Rockingham mm-hmm. jail, and he's a young man, and he had a big repentance and a big transformation, and God used him here at this facility, and God is using him there. But he gave me, I had a similar experience to what you did, Margaret. He looked up to me and the impact I made on his life, and he wants to be like me. And I'm thinking to myself, no, you don't. Thank you. But he saw
the new
God
you.
Did.
Yes.
Yeah. It is for others to see. It's good that you realize it, but you don't have to as long as others
That's
see
right.
it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is a wonderful young man, and I believe he's got a call on his life. And he is doing evangelistic work in that prison, which is about 5.5 miles from here. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have happened if God hadn't encountered him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he had some discipleship here.
Yeah.
And just carries it there.
That's powerful.
Yeah. When the Lord lives in you, you don't have to speak. Your life just shows. And so when you were talking about him saying he wanted to be like you, I think that's what he was saying. He wants, obviously the Lord's living in his life if he's doing evangelism in the jail, but he probably looks up to you. And maybe that's because he knows he can relate to your past and saying that he wants to minister to those like you were ministering to him.
Yes. And another note on that particular person, the day that I found out that this guy has a solid foundation was the day he was in court, and he was hoping to get drug court. But he had violated probations, and they ended up throwing the book at him. And he went from expecting to getting out within a couple weeks and going to drug court to 17 years over his head. I'm like, and I was there in court that day, and I watched him. And as he is walking out of the court, he's hyperventilating, and I am sitting with his family. Mm. And it just, I was affected deeply by the situation. And the next day, I go to the jail, and he's number one on my list. I need to get with him, and I felt like I needed to talk him off the ledge. Mm. And he came in there the same demeanor he always does. He was okay. He survived that blow, and he took the attitude, it is what it is. I'm serving the Lord. He'll use me wherever I go. And that's when I realized this young man is not a fly-by-night Christian. Yeah. God, the Holy Spirit, had already worked on his roots, and his roots were embedded in deep soil. And he was, and he still is.
Yeah.
And that's yes, it's beautiful to see that type of transformation.
And that's one of the reasons that it's so important to have someone inside that can have these conversations and can encourage those that are incarcerated. And I can only imagine that that young man's foundation will only grow deeper with that attitude.
Yeah.
And somebody that's been in their shoes and can relate to them makes it even more powerful, I'm sure, to give them hope.
So when you were in previous on Hope Talks, you were pretty new into your role. Now you don't just have your feet wet. You're totally immersed in this world. And can you tell us, like, from the time you were here before to now, like, how has that, your relationship with those that work at the jail, understanding the way the jail works is a big part of it too.
Yeah.
How has all of that, the relationships you have, how have they grown, and how have you just come to be a part of the, really the fabric of that community?
Well, the first thing that I realized in the transition is God's humor, because when he leads us, I had a wise man tell me one time that it's on a need-to-know basis. God will tell you what you need to know. He doesn't have to disclose everything to you.
Yeah.
So when I went into this ministry, I had one idea. I'd had experience in prison ministry, and so I took this opportunity, and you know, knowing I had experience, and I would see a few inmates, this will be easy. And then once I got in there and started working, it was as though the Lord said, now let me tell you why you're here. I came in under one pretense, and God changed it and showed me the bigger picture as things unfolded. I did not expect to go as deep with these inmates as I have. What I do on a daily basis, I sit down one-on-one, and I meet with inmates. I go and attend church services on Sunday nights, usually a couple a month. I have a discipleship class, and so I am in there among them. And I also, I'm a liaison between the community of volunteers and the jail. And sometimes there might be a class or a group meeting, and they need a volunteer. I will get a volunteer to fill in. When somebody, I get calls from somebody that has someone in jail and they want me to see them, I will do that. And so I work at getting things for the inmates. Like I'm working on staffing new Bibles in the commissary for these inmates. I've also had good rapport with the administration, and they have allowed me to do baptisms in the jail. Oh. And so I don't even keep up with the numbers. I don't know the number of salvations. I don't know the numbers of baptisms, but the sergeant does. He knows how many baptisms. And he made the comment the other day that he has been there for, I think, 15 or maybe more years. And in all his years, he never saw baptisms. And it sent a message that it's beyond just talking to an inmate.
Yeah.
And so those are the things I do. And then it doesn't stop inside the jail. There are times when I'm home and I am doing administrative things and involved in different projects that come around. And so it's something that I have been immersed in, and I never saw it coming. I thought I was going to do ministry from a distance, and God laughed and said, no, you're not going to be on the outside. You're going to be in the midst of what's happening there. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. We say yes, God knows what we'll say yes to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, as a parent, sometimes, hey, we're going to go do this to our kids, right? And but
you know,
he prepares us.
The Lord, when he moves, again, he doesn't have to let you in on everything.
Yeah, right.
And as things have unfolded, even some of the big ministry moments, I'm not even aware.
Yeah.
Only till later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he moves in such a way. I'll give you an example. I might, in a service, in a church service, I'll have an altar call. And there have been times when multiple inmates stand up for salvation. That happens a lot. But then there are times when I look at certain inmates and think, that guy's not serious. And one of the early times in one of the church services, there was a guy in the back of the room, and he had a smirk on his face. And I thought, this guy's just coming here to make fun of this service. But then after the service and I gave an altar call, he was one of the ones that stood up. And I prayed the prayer and they were released. And as they were being released, leaving the room, I thought, that guy isn't serious. And then he started coming to me. We developed that relationship and fell into discipleship. Mm-hmm. And many months later, I brought that Sunday night up to him. And I said, you know, that night that you stood up, in my heart, I felt like you weren't serious. And he told me that night after he got back to the cell, he got into his bunk and cried all night long. And so God was doing a deep work. And here I was thinking that it shows you that it's not about the vessel. It's about the one who was called the vessel. And I'm not saying this out of a spirit of false humility. It is a reality in my life that the Lord does the work. All I have to do is be available. And I don't have to know when he's working. And that dynamic happens a lot.
And that's true for all of us.
Yes.
Sometimes we want things, and we can get burnt out in ministry if we want things for people more than they want it. Mm-hmm. Or if we spend time trying to figure it out. We don't need to figure it out. Our life will be our testimony, and everyone's life will be their testimony. We'll see the fruit, right?
Yes.
And that's really, you've been there now long enough that you're able to see the fruit. And I know that the jail is different because you're there, being willing to do that and to disciple. There is an opportunity. You've talked about the volunteers. So there is an opportunity to go into the jail and volunteer. Different churches do that. If anybody's listening that would want to be a part of that, what would you say to them today? How would they reach out to you?
Yes, well, what we do, there are orientation classes that we have occasionally. People reach out, and so we will do orientation. And what I tell them, it doesn't secure you a spot to go in, but it puts your names on the books. Yeah. And it also, you become one of my resources, because sometimes we need an extra volunteer. You know, the classes are limited, so with the amount of volunteers, not everybody can go in all the time, but it's great to get your name on the books so that if you go into booking and they see your name, you're allowed upstairs into the jail. And not only with inside the jail, but I can see a future of volunteers assisting with inmates outside the jail. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I see slowly being formed. These inmates need people in their lives, and they need many things. You know, maybe a pat on the back, or maybe some training, or maybe an opportunity to work. Other things that could help them: finances, places to stay. So the Harrisonburg community, there is an ability to get that done within this community. Mm-hmm. But it takes the peoples who their hearts have been touched by a desire, by the Lord, with the desire to be there for the incarcerated when they get out.
And maybe somebody wouldn't be available to volunteer, but maybe they would be interested in supporting the ministry and supporting the work. How could they do that?
Well, I am a missionary. I'm a chaplain at the jail, but I am a worker, missionary worker local for Virginia Mennonite Missions. They are a sending agency, and they have established a salary for me to do this job. Mm-hmm. However, the funds have to be raised. They don't have it. They coordinate the funds, and there's never a time when that cup is full, because it's being emptied all the time. That's how I live. I live by faith, And I trust the Lord to bring the people to support this ministry. And so if anyone is interested in supporting the chaplaincy, they would go to the Virginia Mennonite Missions page, and there is a workers section, and you would go to that, and you would see me in there as a local missionary to the jail, and you could donate that way. Or you could mail, if you're not one, right. if you're not savvy online,
right.
There are some that mail checks into the missions and put my name as the worker in on the memo line, and you can do it that way as well.
And what is their address or their P.O. box?
They are on Virginia Avenue.
So if they
right
if they look
Parkwood.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I've seen the fruit of this ministry. It is really hard when you are working, and it's a lot more involved than what you probably first thought. And so people are coming out of the Rockingham County Jail changed because of this ministry, by the discipleship that's happening through you, through the volunteers that come in. And so I think that it is a great opportunity for those listening, if you're feeling at all convicted or convinced by the Lord, we'll take it either way, that reaching out and supporting Baker in this ministry, it is a investment in something larger than we can even really talk about on this show. It's the Lord that's doing this work through you.
The one thing about the, and you made a very good point, Margaret, about the investment. And actually, it's not an investment into the chaplaincy as much as it is the kingdom.
That's
one
right.
day I will not be there and someone else will be filling my shoes, and the investment continues and the need continues and the work of what God is doing is going to continue in that facility.
Right. Well, we definitely appreciate all the work that you're doing there and serving that population in our community and help bringing redemption and restoration in people's lives. And you've even shared stories of how people, their lives have changed in prison, and they're making the most of the time while they're there until they get out, ministering to others in the jail as well. So you've trained people and ministered to people.
Yes, and you know, to add to that, another thing that you will see, these inmates, as they're changing while they're in there, it affects their families. And I had two inmates over the past few weeks talking to me about how it has impacted their families going back to church and getting them involved again.
Yeah. That's powerful.
And one inmate is even mentioned to me who he was divorced, and he's now talking about being reconciled to his wife and bringing the family back together again. It doesn't stop with their impact. They carry on what God is doing to those in their lives.
Yeah, and people that, for whatever reason, that they ended up inside, God has, it doesn't happen in every situation for every inmate, but there are some that God uses that time for to be an incubator for them and to get a reset and have someone on the inside that can be that resource and, for lack of better terms, take the hand of the Lord in their hand and help them in that journey and help them to believe that they're worthy, that God does, because, you know, that's where you feel like it's all lost, right? So many people think there's no purpose when they find themselves inside. And so it's just really amazing that you are there and doing that. And not just you, but there will be someone to follow. And for those that would like to give, the address to Virginia Mennonite Missions is 601 Parkwood Drive, Harrisonburg, Virginia, 22802. And then if you need to call them for any reason, it is 540-434-9727. And so you can go on the VMM website to give, and that's just vmmissions.org is that website, and go to Mission Workers, and you can find Baker there. listed.
Well, Baker, it's been great to have you today on Hope Talks and to share a little bit of your story and also the ministry that you're doing in the jails here locally. Thank you for joining us. It's been great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that today, as you've heard us talk with Baker Rigg, we pray that it has truly been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.